Could slightly higher interest rates add juice to the U.S. economy instead of taking the edge off? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Later today, the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve will issue a statement after 2 days of consultations. Judging from the bond market this morning, few were expecting short-term interest rates to be lifted, especially given recent mixed signals about the economy. But that Fed statement could contain clues about whether policymakers are inclined to raise rates by year's end. David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
One of the things the Federal Reserve doesn't want to do is surprise everybody. And the problem is at some stage the statement is going to have to get a little bit more hawkish. In other words, give people the impression they're going to raise rates, or people will never expect them to raise rates. We'll all be looking at the statement carefully to see if they think that they are closer to raising rates in December than they were this month. Because if they don't say that, then I think people will postpone expectations of rate hike into next year. Personally, I want them to raise rates. I think the first few rate hikes would actually stimulate economic growth and would remove a big source of uncertainty from markets.
Why stimulate? Because people see the direction of rates and they get some consumption in?
A little bit of that, but also when you have very low interest rates, raising interest rates doesn't really turn off any mortgage borrowing. I mean, if you can make the down payment, you can afford the payment. But what it does is it pushes up interest income. And as we've looked at it, the surge in interest income that you get from higher interest rates right now completely dominates any sort of negative price effect of somewhat higher mortgage payments. So it would actually stimulate consumer spending and stimulate the overall economy, we believe, from very low levels. Later on, when rates are higher, you know, might slow things down. But at this point, raising rates would actually stimulate economic growth.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you.
Anytime.
There's news just now that IBM, the computer services company, has just bought the online digital operations of The Weather Company, owners of The Weather Channel and Weather Underground. The TV channel stays separate, but will license the weather data back from IBM. The payment system that used to be part of eBay reports profits later today. eBay's profits beat expectations the other day, but we'll see about PayPal. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
PayPal is a big player in online payments. Gene Munster is an analyst at Piper Jaffray. He says the company has had less success with in-store payments, where a customer can use a smartphone to buy stuff.
That, to me, is the long-term challenge for PayPal, is really being more competitive with Apple Pay and Android Pay at stores.
Another area Munster's watching is PayPal's acquisition of a company called Xoom. That pushed it into the international money transfer market. Xoom customers can send money from the U.S. to their families in Mexico or India, for example. The U.S. is the biggest source of international remittances.
Ultimately, we think that something like Xoom could become 10% of PayPal's business.
But PayPal's Xoom is about a sixth of the size of competitor Western Union's online presence. So says Mark Palmer, a financials analyst at BTIG.
The question is, how quickly can it grow on a global scale?
Still, Palmer says PayPal's deep pockets give it a lot of options for where it can place its bets. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Homelessness in Hawaii has reached the point that the governor has declared a state of emergency. That maneuver frees up about $1 million for homeless services and a new shelter. The money comes days after authorities kicked everybody out of a homeless encampment in Honolulu. Molly Solomon from Hawaii Public Radio reports.
We're taking everything out of the park.
Tracy Martin and his family have been homeless for more than 2 years. During that time, they've gone through more than a dozen sweeps, like this one, where some of their belongings were tossed into a dumpster.
They make it hard. When they do these sweeps, they paralyze people. People got to stay home from work. A lot of people just don't go looking for jobs because they don't know if a sweep is coming or not.
Martin and his family were among 300 people who lived in the Honolulu encampment. State officials say more than half were relocated to temporary housing or nearby shelters, including one run by Jerry Coffey.
We took a good many of those folks. We brought in 8 families, I think, just in the span of about 2 weeks.
Coffey is the clinical director for the Institute of Human Services. It runs the largest emergency homeless shelter in the state. He says local shelters like his have been busy, and not just because of the recent sweeps. An annual homeless count shows there are more than 7,000 homeless people in Hawaii, making it the highest per capita state for homelessness in the nation. Coffey hopes the emergency declaration will finally make it a priority.
And some very visible encampments really prompted them to really acknowledge the crisis that frankly, has been visible for some time.
Hawaii's declaration comes on the heels of similar actions taken by the cities of Los Angeles and Portland, Oregon. Using emergency proclamations to tackle homelessness is something of a new phenomenon, says Maria Foscarinas, the executive director of the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty.
So it does seem to be something of a trend, and it's a trend that I think reflects the unfortunate reality that homelessness is a national crisis.
Since the big sweep of the encampment where Tracy Martin and his family lived, some homeless people created two new camps nearby. Hawaii's governor announced plans this week to clear them. Enforcement is expected to begin next month. In Honolulu, I'm Molly Solomon for Marketplace.
And as of right now, many more Americans can sign up for some relief from their government student loans. The Obama administration has changed the rules of what's called the Pay As You Earn program, meaning about 5 million more borrowers who don't earn all that much may be able to limit their loan payments. The lower monthly payments come with many more years of paying, however. Before, new borrowers were eligible, but the change this week allows existing borrowers to try to sign on. Those keywords again, pay as you earn or income-driven federal student aid will get you started. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.